Welcome to the Inflow Experience Podcast, the only podcast where you'll hear from contact center and customer experience experts about their roles, their lives, and everything in between. I'm Austin Culp, Manager of Customer Success at Inflow CX. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy the show.
Well, how is it going? Thank you so much for joining me today.
Great, Austin. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, absolutely. Very, very excited for this conversation. I really have enjoyed chatting with you and getting to know you, throughout this process. And, you bring a really interesting background and, you guys bring a really cool, value proposition to the market. So, if you can, before we jump into some questions, introduce yourself and your organization for the general audience in there.
Great. Yeah. Thanks. Thanks, Austin. It's been great talking to you guys and, really excited to take part in this. I haven't done something like this before on the podcast side. So, very cool. Just on myself. So Mike Sedicassi, I'm the VP of partnerships at Ada, and have only been at Ada for, a short period of time. I would say 6 months. Some would say I'm a veteran already, with the way that we're growing, and others would say that's a short bit of time. But Ada is a brand interaction platform. For those who want to decipher that, we never like to refer to ourselves as a chatbot, but that's part of what we provide. And really giving organizations just a way to talk to their customers in a better way.
Awesome. Very cool. We'll absolutely get more into that and into what you guys do and what role you play. But, Mike, before we jump into that, I always like to ask the guests just because meet so many different people from so many different backgrounds in this space. But for you, VP of Partnerships now, which awesome role, congratulations. What was your first ever job and what did you learn from that you carry with you today?
Yeah. So I won't talk about my paper route when I was a kid. I don't think that's going to add a lot of value walking the streets of Vancouver in the rain. But my first real job, I started, and it's kind of funny with the space that we're talking about. I started as a telesales representative. So, the very, very first layer, we were, so to speak, a call center, a bunch of us on the phones. And we were the first layer that you contacted when you wanted to learn a little bit more about either our software or to book training or things like that. So I really started that role, dialing for dollars on the phone and really taking in customer inquiries and trying to turn them into sales or training on our products so that we could get more sales. So, it's just interesting that even though right now I work very closely with partners and we build out strategy across the board, just from the very first day I started in software, how we sell and how we build value for the customer and really how we help solve a problem has always been the key to my roles, whether it's, a telesales rep or now as the VP of partnerships at Ada. And I would say that's, really the strongest thing that's kept with me this whole time.
Wow. That's really awesome. And that, sounds like a very, very difficult job. So kudos to you for kind of cutting your teeth there. That's great. You talked about in the beginning, automated brand interaction, and I would love to dive more into, who Ada is, what they do. But before we even get there, let's take a step back because I think that there are, possibly and maybe even likely some folks listening in that are like, brand interactions, what is that? How does it help? Why is it important? Should I know what it is? So can you talk about that for a little bit?
Yeah, very simply, brand interactions, and in the way that Ada does it, and most companies now from a B2B perspective that are on the software side of the industry, is really the digital way that you communicate and work with your customer, right? So you as the brand, every time a customer reaches out, and that could be, via Twitter, that could be via mm-hmm. your website, all these different mediums of reaching out, as a company and the owner of your brand, you really want stewardship on the experience a customer has when they reach out to you, because that experience is really what can drive a customer to stay loyal or to look at other options or to move more quickly down the path of you providing value to them.
Awesome. Well, very good. So it's it's automated, which automation is huge in today's in today's space, and will be for a long time to come. It's a really big topic that's come up on the podcast a lot, and frankly, one we have with contact centers consistently, right? I mean, probably daily is a good way to put it. One of the things I'm curious on is you mentioned interactions and your customers associating your brand with the interactions that they're having. With the automation, how are you making sure that interaction is personalized and, that the end customer or end, participant, let's just call it, of this interaction doesn't look at it and go, oh, well, that doesn't matter to me. Or doesn't feel kind of, disconnected, let's just say, for lack of a better term.
Yeah. I agree 100%. AI and automation is huge in this industry. Previous to Ada, I worked for a pure AI corporation, and that was one of the things that I loved about Ada is the way that we bring AI into the product to make it more seamless. But, to step back, I think to understand brand interaction, you also have to understand there's just a gap, right? This is why, Ada and, this is part of the reason why I came on board is, some parts of the business are handled very well between you and your customer. But then there's this gap where, you would think if a customer had an issue or a complaint or a problem, that would be key data you want to focus on. But oftentimes in organizations, that's the place where they put the least amount of investment and focus, and ultimately, where you were going, the least amount of automation, which then begins to frustrate a customer. Right. And, we both know that when you do something right, nobody says a word. But when you screw up, or you provide bad service, you can bet you're going to see that on Twitter somewhere. Right. Like, hey,
oh, yeah.
What's going on? Why can't I get anybody to talk?
My grandfather, when I was really young, told me a saying, I guess, that sticks with me today. And it's maybe not this exact language, but what he basically said was it takes one oh shoot to, mess up 1,000 attaboys.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's why I think this gap, right, of really identifying those customers and giving them a way to communicate, and then the ones that you do capture, communicate effectively through automation is so important. And so that's really that brand interaction gap, and then why we try to resolve it is a huge part of it. And then once you've done that, personalization is the next step. I mean, Forrester, others, a bunch of people have done studies, for certain generations that buy right now, they want a personalized experience and they're willing to pay more or spend more time if they feel like they're being treated like a VIP, right? If they're getting that personalized service. And I think that's key. That's the way that you have to look at that part of the business.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as a consumer myself, I can tell you that everyone, but especially me, is special, right? I mean, everyone's different. Everyone has unique wants and needs. So no, I think that hits home. I mean, I know for me it does. And I'm certain it hits home for a lot of folks out there. So getting into, when we talk about interactions, you've talked a little bit about, hey, here's how organizations are, frankly, not thinking about it today. And some certainly are, but, how do you see really kind of best in class contact centers getting ahead of the curve when it comes to some of this interaction automation? Like, what are some things that they are doing where you go, okay, yep, they're thinking about it the right way, and here's why?
What we're seeing from our partners and what we're seeing from our customers that are going into that space, they're seeing that something is missing, right? They're not taking the approach that we can solve everything through the current process of a contact center, right? They're not looking at it like, hey, if there's a problem, the best way to deal with every situation is to pick up the phone and call. I mean, I'm a little bit of the older generation, but I'm sure you don't have to go down too far where you ask people if they ever want to pick up the phone and actually call somebody, or receive a call for that matter, if they actually want to do that. And most nowadays will tell you no, right? That's not the way that they want to solve their problem, by calling and waiting for somebody to resolve it. Now, I'll be the first to admit, all contact centers have their place. You need that at times, right? But the best ones that we are seeing are taking this trend of understanding certain amounts of their base are going to want to handle it that way. But there is a growing and a base that you need to serve that wants to solve their problems just like they do every day on their phone, whether it be a WhatsApp text, whether it be a text message, whether it be the widget on a website, right? But they want to be able to communicate their problem or communicate their question and have it solved and returned in the same medium that they're used to doing every day with, you know, the phone that they have in their pocket, right?
Yeah. So I guess, would it be fair to say that you guys are seeing a trend where some contact centers or, you know, you see the market kind of moving away from voice first and especially voice only. Is there like sort of like a digital channel first trend that you're starting to see?
We're seeing it, but like, I think, you know, often what the concern is or what we see as a concern across the board is like, hey, if we get into this medium, does that mean people aren't going to invest in ours? Right. And candidly, we deal with organizations that are growing at such a pace that it's not, they look at it as not, oh, I want to spend less on contact center. They look at it as like, we're growing so fast. We're getting so much communication or support from our customers that we need a better way to handle this. We just simply cannot hire enough people or scale that part of the organization to continue to provide like super good service to their customers. So they look at this as a way to provide like exceptional service for a portion of their customer base in exactly the way that they want to do it. And the best contact centers we see are taking that approach, right? They're saying, hey, we've got a resolve for this. We've got an easy way to resolve for this. Automated, it has AI, it looks very natural, and it can solve easy problems that customers want resolved without having to pick up the phone. And that's the business that we're seeing grow tremendously.
Got it. Okay. Awesome. Very good. You know, one of the things that I hear sometimes from contact centers when we're talking with them about, you know, this sort of thing is, you know, in air quotes, right? But hey, you know, automation, it's going to shrink the contact center. It's going to make it harder to scale. It's going to, you know, devalue us and our operation. I know it comes up oftentimes as a resistance point, even if you start to mention the word automation. And what's your take and how have you guys kind of helped customers wrap their mind around that?
Yeah, I think, you know, some things are inevitable, right? Like we are seeing this change in the marketplace. Now, I guess what the way that we position it is like, whatever we do on the automation side to work with customers doesn't mean that that's going to be a takeaway from the contact center side, right? All of our deal, like I don't know right now in our plate of deals that somebody is spending money on automation and AI and then taking that as a reduction to what they currently have, right? Most are looking at that and saying like, this is going to supplement and make what we provide even better because, you know, talk to your contact center agents, they hate the calls that an FAQ that like, you know, if a customer just, you know, scrolled a little bit on their website, they could get the answer to. Nobody likes taking that call, right? Like that kills their motivation. Those folks are there. They want to solve an actual problem, right? I know that it's a tough job, but when they get in there and they solve a problem, that customer goes, hey, that's awesome. Thanks. You saved me, right? I was going to fail and you managed to turn this around for me. That's the type of calls that they want to do. They don't want the calls of like, can I have a status update on my order? You know, where are you open at this time? Like, you know, real basic things that somebody could just type into their, you know, text or chat and get a real, you know, conversational answer to. Those are the things you want to deflect. And so when we talk to them, it's like, that's where you want to be, because if you're not there, you're going to start getting frustrated contact centers that are dealing with these mundane questions all the time.
Yeah, no, that you're right. And that makes a lot of sense. And, you know, I'm glad you brought that up because we've talked about it from the business angle, you know, hey, look, here's how it's ultimately going to help your brand and help you, you know, scale. We've talked about it from the customer side, you know, hey, not everybody wants something or needs something right this second. And, you know, that's changing. I mean, I always like to use the analogy of, you know, if you ask a lot of people, you know, yourself and myself, hey, pretend like you're going to call somebody, right? We go like this. If you start to ask the younger generation, hey, pretend you're going to make a phone call really quick, they go, because it's changed, right? There's no this anymore. There's iPhone or internet or whatever. Yeah. And that's happening in the contact center too, right? It's, look, do I need to go through this, you know, do I need to go through this menu, you know, just to figure out some, my account number or my balance or, you know, something very simple? No, I don't. And, you know, people love talking to, you know, a good bot or a good automation, right? They dislike interacting with something that's, you know, not a person when it's challenging and it's frustrating. And then same side on the agents too, you know, they, are not going to be happy and they're going to burn out if, you know, a few things. One, like you said, they're answering just these mundane, boring, yep, here's when we're open, here's when we close, yada, yada type questions. And the other part of that is they're also going to burn out if, because everyone has to call in and talk to a live person, every single call they answer is, I've been waiting for 2 hours, you know, just, and all I need is this. It's like, man,
yeah,
that's challenging. And that's where you really, you know, that's where you really start to see a lot of turnover, attrition, and frankly, make it hard to hire too. So you're really solving, you know, solving that problem from three different perspectives.
Yeah. And then we know the great resignation is real. This is not the time to start losing people and trying to hire for those roles. It's tough. So, you know, like you said, you can put this in and instead of the team worrying that this is going to actually lessen what they do, you position it as like, hey, this is actually going to make your life better. You know, those 30% of calls that you hate that are just like the easiest things to answer. And in the back of your mind while you're answering, you're like, you know, this person could have just looked it up in 30 seconds. That's what this is going to help get out of your queue so you can actually solve real problems.
Wow, that's great. Awesome. So when you think about, you know, when you think about kind of just automation and brand interactions today, we know how people have thought about it in the past. We kind of understand where it's at today and have a good grip on, hey, look, here's where it's at today. Where do you see, you know, where do you see this market going in the next, you know, 1, 3, 5 years? And again, specific to, you know, kind of automation and brand interaction and personalization.
Yeah, I really see it taking on, I really see increased personalization leading the brand interaction platform to do things you may have not thought it could do in the future, right? Or right now, mm-hmm. like it will lead that way to the future. So, I mean, table stakes right now for any of these platforms is really to just deflect easy answers, right? And, you know, there's a lot of products that can do that. There's differentiation between those. We employ a lot of AI, so it helps make the bot get set up a lot easier and faster, right? Which is one of the roles of automation. But the personalization side of it is where things become interesting, right? So okay. One of the great things about Ada, and it's really a focus being on the partner side, is the amount of integrations that we support. So now when you start plugging into all of these back-end platforms, including, you know, CCaaS services, you know, the bot, when it's talking to folks, can understand historically, like, how many times has this person called? You can identify the person that you're talking to as, like, you know, are they a high-value customer? Right. When you're talking, you know, specifically about orders, you know, when you find out that, say, this order's out of stock or it's going to take longer than anticipated, the bot can start to personalize choices and say, hey, we don't have this or this is taking 2 months longer than you like. Would you consider taking this? And maybe we can offer you a discount right at the time for your troubles. Right. And then you press one button and all of a sudden you move a customer who's thinking, man, this is taking 2 months longer to arrive than I thought to, wow, I got this cool other thing that I like just as much with a little bit of a discount. So it's this increased personalization that will lead to really like VIP experiences, right? We want everybody at that level to come in and have some knowledge around who you're interacting with and understand how best to deal with them. And, you know, we've seen some incredible examples of that in the hotel industry where somebody will call the bot will get the information. They'll know, like, hey, you stayed here last time. We think this would be great. Or, you know, last time you had a great time at the bar. Here's a free drink ticket to check out the lounge in this new hotel. Or, you know, last time you really enjoyed the spa. Would you like, would you like me to book an appointment for you for the spa on your third day in? All these personalizations will make users feel like, hey, these guys really know who I am and what I like. This saves me a bunch of trouble of having to try to figure it all out myself.
Awesome. Wow. Yeah, I didn't consider that. So from an interaction perspective, you think just more and more focus on the individual and making the interactions as personalized as possible. Some of those examples that you knew you talked about and used are really, really, you know, forward thinking and I think super helpful. You know, now that we've talked a little bit about the you know, the future of automation, the future of interaction specifically, but you know, one of the last things that I always like to ask folks, Mike, is taking a step back and looking at this holistically, right? Because I mean, CCaaS in general and CX in general is just, it's so broad and there's so many different, you know, topics and tools and technologies that we dive into consistently. And we talked about, you know, we talked about a few of them today, which is great. But overall, in the next, and again, you know, let's say 3 to 5 years, what do you see being, you know, the most or one of the most really impactful areas of change in a contact center, you know, from where we're at today and just where we're going as a whole?
I think we're starting to see some of the change today, but what I think we're going to see more of, and I'm definitely learning as I get into this industry more, talk to more partners, talk to more customers, is that, you know, back when I started, so if you know, back in the telesales days, right? The support org was always looked as just like a cost structure, right? Like this is a necessary cost we have to put into play in order to take care of our customer when they need it. But nobody ever viewed it as like a goldmine of data, of information, of how to understand, you know, what your customer's wants and needs are, how to turn a potential customer that might be churning and turn them around. Like, I think people are just starting this journey of investing more in that side of the industry to understand what they can do to serve their customer. And so what I see it growing is, like, I see this part of the business as becoming key. Like, people are going to look at this as the most direct way to interact with your customers, learn what they need, position what's best for them, and really give yourself a differentiator against all the other organizations that are working in these different mediums. I think a focus in this area is going to give you information that you just can't get anywhere else, because you rarely have that one-on-one brand interaction with a customer outside of this arena, right? When you're marketing, whether it's digital ads or whatnot, your customers will see it, but they're not having that direct interaction that you're having right now when a customer reaches out via this platform. And I think the value of that is just going to be increased and there'll be more investment in this space.
Wow. Yeah. You know, when you start to talk about the personalization on that, I mean, that's what creates lifetime customers, right? I mean, it's really hard to, and I've got a few brands where, like, they know me, right? They know me. I've been a customer there for forever. And although I might not talk with them regularly or anything like that, I know that when I'm figuring stuff out or when I need something, they're going to be able to, frankly, guide me in the right direction, which is just so huge.
Yeah, that's great. And that, awesome. You know, the only thing I'll add is that the work that we're doing with partners in the space is huge, right? Ada is a startup. We're up and coming. We're really focused on a certain market via direct. You know, this space and the focus on it, the work we do with our partners is huge. We couldn't do it on our own without really focusing on the partners that help us with it. So we completely appreciate that and really depend on them for that.
Awesome. Well, Mike, it has been a pleasure. Believe it or not, we're almost at a half hour here.
Oh, wow.
Flies by when you're having fun.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, good. Well, you know, hey, Mike, I really, really appreciate it. And, you know, we appreciate the Ada partnership. I mean, it's a really critical one as we look into, you know, into CX, and as we look into how we can better serve our customers and educate them on, you know, look, here's what, you know, industry leaders are doing and how they're thinking about things. So I totally appreciate the, you know, the feedback and just the transparency in the conversation today.
Hey, thanks for having me on. Thanks for letting Ada have a voice, and, you know, look forward to working together again.
Thank you for listening to the Inflow Experience Podcast. If you like what we're doing and you want to hear more, consider subscribing. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, or any other major podcast platform.